Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. On Sunday, 8th of November, Pope Benedict XVI travelled to the northern Italian city of Brescia, a city in Lombardy, once nicknamed the Lioness of Italy. Earning this title for its rebellion against Austria in 1839, when for 10 dramatic days it held its own against Austrian troops seeking civil rights. A city also famous in church circles for its strong religious identity and, of course, for being the birthplace of Pope Paul VI. In fact, Pope Benedict's visit there, his 17th pastoral visit in Italy, is connected to the figure of this 20th century pope who died back in 1978. And if you have any doubts, take a look at the schedule. Mass is in a square dedicated to Paul VI. Despite being located in the heart of medieval Brescia. A visit to Concesio takes him to the birthplace of Giovanni Battista Montini, this pontiff's name, to the parish church where he was once baptized, and to the new location of the Paul VI Institute, an international research and study centre Benedict XVI addressed in March 2007 in the Vatican. I've asked Sean Patrick Lovett to read some extracts from that speech, during which the Pope highlights how closely and personally he's bound to the servant of God, Paul VI, claiming it's because of the trust this Pope placed in him in appointing him Archbishop of Munich and Freising in 1977, before creating him Cardinal a mere 3 months later. But let's listen to extracts from that speech then.
I too have had an opportunity to become acquainted with your Institute's activities. I've admired its faithfulness to the Magisterium, as well as its intention to honour a great pontiff, whose apostolic yearning you have made it your business to highlight by rigorous research work and high-grade scientific and ecclesial initiatives. He was called by divine providence to take the helm of the bark of Peter to steer her through a historical period marked by numerous challenges and problems. In thinking back over the years of his pontificate, it's striking to note the missionary zeal that motivated him and impelled him to undertake demanding apostolic journeys, even to distant nations, in order to make prophetic gestures of great ecclesial, missionary, and ecumenical importance. The secret of the pastoral action that Paul VI carried out with tireless dedication, at times adopting difficult and unpopular decisions, lies precisely in his love for Christ, a love vibrant with moving words to be found in all his teachings. His soul as a pastor was totally consumed with missionary zeal, nourished by a sincere desire for dialogue with humanity. His prophetic invitation, several times repeated, to renew the world, troubled by anxieties and violence, through the civilization of love, sprang from a total entrustment of himself to Jesus, Redeemer of man. The name of this pontiff, whose greatness public opinion understood on the occasion of his death, continues to be specially linked to the Second Vatican Council. If it was John XXIII who organized and inaugurated the council, it was left to Paul VI, his successor, to bring it to completion with an expert, delicate, and firm hand. The government of the Church in the post-conciliar period was equally exacting for Pope Montini. Even when he had to tolerate suffering and sometimes violent attacks, he did not let himself be conditioned by misunderstanding and criticism, but on every occasion remained a firm and wise helmsman of the bark of Peter. As the years pass, the importance of his pontificate for the Church and for the world, and likewise the value of his lofty magisterium, which has inspired his successors and to which I too continue to refer, appear ever more clearly. Making my own the exhortation addressed to you by our beloved Pope John Paul II, I gladly repeat to you, study Paul VI lovingly, study him with scientific thoroughness, study him with the conviction that his spiritual heritage continues to enrich the Church and can nourish the consciences of the people of today, who are so much in need of words of eternal life.
And my thanks there go to Sean Patrick Lovett for reading the extracts from a speech of Benedict XVI to the Paul VI Institute in March 2007. Moving on in the programme, what I'd like to do now is bring you the witness of one of those who knew Paul VI, this Pope from Brescia, personally. He's the late Monsignor Carol Abbing. Just listen to what he told me all those years ago.
He came from Brescia, which is an extraordinary city. You have always had a very lively Catholicism there, defending and proposing the doctrine of the Church in living, in life. Values, we say today, values. And, of course, he was born into that kind of a family. His father, you see, was very much a leader in that way. And at table, that was what he heard of, was immersed in town affairs and city affairs and church affairs in a very practical way, you see. He was always interested in the other side, in hearing, you see, especially when he was talking to teenagers. He loved to provoke, to bring out, you see, so that somebody would express themselves. And then he'd gently attack them, and they would, of course, like teenagers today, would attack back, you see. This would amuse him immensely. He loved it. He loved to have a controversy with young people. And this made him, when he was the chaplain to the Fucci, you see, with having a great deal to do with more intellectual and more alive Catholics, he was a great chaplain. Could really bring out in them, you know, in a very, very simple way, an awareness to life and to politics and things as being extremely, extremely important.
Talking about this communication he had with young people, yet Paul VI was dubbed as being someone who couldn't communicate.
He had his own way. The way he would look at you, you know, it was already a little bit of a provocation. He was kind of, you knew he was going to say something that would, you know, you'd probably disagree with it. This provoking, bring out the best in somebody.
You were listening there to the founder of Boys Town, and indeed Girls Town, the late Monsignor Carol Abbing, whose amazing organisation still caters for young people across the world today. And now, having spoken to Monsignor Abbing, I'd like to present a sort of scrapbook in sound surrounding Paul VI, often described as brilliant but baffling. Stay tuned and do get ready to listen to his voice once again, beginning with a recording in which he holds a press conference and is out to provoke. What he says, as you're about to hear as he speaks in English, are the words, "The press which you represent can be a most important instrument of great good," before quipping, "That is the question, but I've already given too much away." Stay tuned.
You represent can be a most potent instrument of great good. Always be faithful to the truth. That is the question.
That is the question. The words of Pope Paul VI provoked hilarity and clapping among the journalists gathered around him. They understood that reference to Hamlet's famous soliloquy. It was December 1964, and during an impromptu press conference, The Pope unleashed an unusual self-deprecating sense of humour, showing an awareness of a specific journalistic quirk, that of repeatedly reporting a quote likening him to this most famous of Shakespearean characters. It's a familiar story going back to the days when Pope Paul was still Cardinal Archbishop Montini of Milan and the Roman Pontiff his predecessor John the 23rd. Said Pope John, inquiring after the Cardinal in his home diocese of Milan, "Well, how's your Hamlet Cardinal?" A shrewd remark, never to be forgotten by the press, resurfacing when the Cardinal Archbishop of Milan was himself elected to the See of Peter in June 1963. And not just in the local press. Even the Newsweek issue marking Paul VI's recent election to the papacy, which sported his photograph still dressed as a cardinal on the cover, quoted it. Running an editorial by the title of "We Have a Pope, Paul VI, Baffling Brilliant," only a few lines down, there was an entire paragraph dedicated to the Hamlet Cardinal.
Cardinal Montini, at a more searching look, is a baffling figure both in person and in politics. Although he was the first prelate whom Pope John elevated to cardinal, the uncomplicated John apparently had ambivalent feelings about the intellectual Montini.
And Papa Montini was indeed an intellectual. A man at ease in literary circles, familiar with Shakespeare, having visited Stratford-on-Avon 3 decades earlier. As he himself once explained in the exclusive recording in English you're about to hear, "A word of warning, don't be misled by the royal we," dictated by the papal protocol of the time. Pope Paul was speaking about himself.
"The visit we made about 30 years ago as an inquiring and hasty tourist to the city and the home of Shakespeare in Stratford of Avon, with the impression of fantastic riches and psychological truth."
The impression of fantastic riches and psychological truth, said Pope Paul, speaking on the occasion of celebrations for the 4th centenary of the birth of Shakespeare. It was 1964. Among his audience, directors and actors of the Royal Stratford Theatre, exceptionally performing in Rome, just down the road from St. Peter's.
"The commemoration is particularly adapted to Rome, always savvy and prompt as she is to honour the high achievements of the human spirit, and happy today to celebrate in this supreme writer the magnificent cultural tradition and artistic genius of the English people."
Shakespeare's writings, Paul VI stressed, were profoundly human, ever open to adventurous and poetic exploration, leading to the discovery of moral laws which make life great and sacred.
"God exists. There is a life after this life. Evil doing is punished and good rewarded."
Clearly for Pope Paul VI, genius and faith could go hand in hand. He believed Shakespeare's lofty genius and powerful language would induce humankind to listen with great reverence to the great truths expounded in his works. Perhaps that affinity to Hamlet constantly attributed to him, stemming from his apparent inability to merely brush aside the daunting difficulties in his personal quest for truth, may not have displeased him altogether. But why not listen then to that famous soliloquy?
"To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them.
In the twilight years of his 15-year pontificate, Paul VI may have fleetingly remembered John XXIII's remarks while jotting down a series of notes. "What is my state of mind?" he wrote. "Am I Hamlet or Don Quixote? On the left, on the right? I don't feel I have properly been understood." Who knows whether or not he was understood as Pope? What's certain is that the man to inherit from his predecessor to the papacy a council it is said he would never have called was a prudent and far-sighted man who avoided those kind of decisions where another would have acted first and reflected later. I do hope you enjoyed this feature focusing around the figure of Paul VI. Time to coincide with Pope Benedict XVI's visit to his city of origin on Sunday, November the 8th. Indeed, as our Holy Father becomes the second Roman pontiff to visit there, the first, as we've just heard, was John Paul II, who travelled there twice in the course of his pontificate. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.